welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. Thank you for listening, and thank you for visiting our sponsors and supporters. We're going to hopefully have a slightly different show today. We're recording on Wednesday. My name is Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Matt Mercer.
Alan Harrop.
Pat Park.
Glenn Fink.
Very good. Matt, we're going to try to get you in on the hot seat for a few minutes. Matt's come down here. I think you just recently, actually just an hour ago or whatever, was at the
Republican Women's Luncheon.
Luncheon in Craven County, and gave a speech there. And I'm glad you're able to stay around here and meet with us. So, Matt, would you give us a little bit of your background, please?
Yeah, happy to. Thanks for having me today. It was a great speech at lunch. I hope everyone took it and goes and works really hard for the next 195 days. My name is Matt Mercer. I grew up in North Carolina. I'm a lifelong North Carolinian, and I've lived all over the state working campaigns and working in media as well. And so it's great to come over to this part of the state and be with you today.
Very good. Very good.
And your current position?
I am the communications director for the North Carolina Republican Party.
We will mention that we are a 501c. We do not endorse candidates or parties. If a member of the Democrat Party would like to come on the show, they are more than welcome. You can contact Bob at cctaxpayers.com.
However, we are conservative
and we do support issues, and a lot of our issues do line up with the Republican Party. Okay.
give us a little bit of background of what you're doing there. And
yeah, happy to. So I joined the NCGOP in March of 2024. And have been with the party since then. During the 2024 campaign, I was also, I guess, subcontracted is the best word for the RNC and the Trump campaign. So I was able to do a lot of good things there. But really, on a day-to-day basis, it's my job to manage all of the communications for the chairman, answering reporter inquiries, pushing stories out, really communicating the message of what Republicans stand for, and then also getting people to vote Republican. And that's really kind of the job. Is our job is to elect Republicans and defeat Democrats.
Is your job as communications director for the GOP, is that for the state of North Carolina, or is it for the countrywide GOP?
It is for the state right now. If they would like some help in D.C., they have my number and they can call me.
Okay.
Again, as a communications director, and I think as was mentioned, your part of your job is to make sure that as someone is speaking publicly, they word things clearly and positively. I'm going to say, don't let yourself get tripped up with your words, with something that can easily be misinterpreted. So, but you're talking mostly about the speeches that folks are doing, or as they're presenting their position, or they're presenting their argument, I guess.
Yeah, anything, I guess a term for it would be forward-facing. So you're talking about what is the party saying when you see the clips on TV, when you see an interview with someone from the party talking, what are they saying? How are we able to influence what reporters are doing? A lot of that work goes on kind of behind the scenes. And then you're also talking about social media and the news of the day and how that's taken to benefit us and hopefully harm the Democrats, for lack of a better term. But really what we try to do on the communication side is it's anything that people are consuming in the news, in media, on social media, being able to put the NCGOP and our candidates in the best light possible.
What about the commercials, the campaign commercials that we see on TV? Do you have any input in those?
So we are as helpful as we can be. A lot of times you have the candidates have a specific message because their name is on the ballot. And so really what we try to do from a party perspective is add value and reinforce their messages, because ultimately I think most people will say that they want to vote for the person and not the party. And so we understand that it's important to elect Republicans, but those candidates are really the ones who have to drive the message, the messages that they want to talk about. And so what we try to do is reinforce those messages, because if you're running as a Republican, they should align with the Republican Party, right?
Yeah, and they so, should.
They should.
And so that's really our goal, is we're not trying to step on what the candidates do, but add value, because if the candidates aren't successful, then we don't get a Republican elected.
Do the Buckout and Whatley campaigns contact you?
Yes, have regular conversations with them. And actually, I was 20 minutes late to arriving for the lunch today. I had to eat pretty fast because I was actually on a call with the Whatley campaign about some things that we're working on.
Oh, okay. You made some comments off air about Whatley's chances here in North Carolina. Would you care to discuss that?
Yeah, I think he's in a really strong position, but there's also a lot of work to be done. So as I said earlier, we're at 195 days until Election Day. You know, he won the primary with a pretty convincing margin. And so what I think you're talking about his chances, look, we know there's a lot of money that's going to be spent, and his opponent has been in politics for 40 years. He was elected to his first office the year I was born, and I'm turning 40 this year. And so when you're looking at people want to feel comfortable with the person that they're voting for, and so I think it's still that work to do, because he is an outsider. He's not a career politician. He's a first-time candidate doing this. And so he has to be able to make that case while also increasing his name ID. And so I think he's on the way to do that. I would also say that we have more Republicans in North Carolina now than we have in any time in history. We passed the Democrats in voter registration in January this year. And so there is a deeper pool of candidate of voters to pull from who align with the Republican Party and those values. And I think if he continues to work on that, we stand a very good chance of winning that seat and maintaining it for Republicans.
Yeah, I don't know if this is correct, and maybe Glenn can correct me, but I think one of our local candidates here in Craven County did better than Whatley in the primary. Asa Buck.
Well, Ace is more local. Yeah, he is. He is local.
In the county.
Within the county.
Within the county.
Sheriff of the
county. In terms of number of votes he got, I hadn't seen that data.
I guess a question that I would have, and again, name recognition and whatever else. Now we have a larger number of Republicans than we've ever had, but how do we turn them into a larger number of actual voters?
Yeah, I think that's always kind of the question, and it's something that our data team, our political team, they continue to do. And so I think we were able to do that really well if you're looking at 2020 when Whatley led the NCGOP. You had 81% of Republicans turn out in 2020, which is a higher number than the Democrats. In 2024, Republicans won early voting outright for the first time ever. That's something that had never happened before since early voting has been around. And so I think you have a turnout machine, for lack of a better term, that really gives a structural advantage when you're talking about we're able to have more Republicans vote early and we have more Republicans who are registered. And so being able to continue to message to them and being able to drive them to make sure they vote, it really bodes well.
Yeah, if you heard ML speak after you spoke, talking about our turnout effort with the sending the text, we're obviously getting ready to put boots on the ground, so to speak.
I think one of the problems right now with Republican turnout, we saw that in what happened with Virginia yesterday, was many Republicans are very disillusioned with the Washington Republicans and the fact that the SAVE Act is still sitting there and has not been passed. And we want to see some results from the fact that we have the presidency, the House, and the Senate, and we're not seeing those results.
agree with you, Mary, but I would also say I'm disillusioned by the 35,000 mail-in ballots that suddenly appeared in the Virginia election.
That's another part of that. We do have some serious questions about election integrity. But again, if the Republicans don't get on board with what the people voted for when they elected Trump, then what is the point of voting for Republicans?
Well, they did this. The Republicans in Congress did this the first time Trump was president.
Yes, they did.
And they didn't codify anything.
And
so we just have a bunch of executive orders. I know.
But, you know, here we're sitting, we're CCTA, Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, that right now I'm going to say our membership is not as active as it should be and not even as in-depth as it should be. But part of that is due that because we have the presidency there, oh, everything must be going fine. How do we convince ourselves that we need to do better in getting people out now for 2 years down the road?
How can you read the mainstream media and think everything is going well? Because all we hear from them is Trump is stupid. Trump started the war with no plan. He has no off ramp. He doesn't know what he's doing. He makes it up as it goes along, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I think part of the problem is that we really need to emphasize the progress that the Republican administration in the White House has done, the things that Trump has accomplished. And of course, he's done quite a bit. I mean, if you look at there's very few issues he hasn't addressed. And, you know, I tell you, he's got some terrific amount of energy to do everything that he's been able to do. But that really needs to be emphasized. The other thing needs to be emphasized is what if we don't support these conservative candidates, we're going to go back to what Biden and Obama and are really after. And I think we really need to focus the fact that these are Marxists. That's what we're talking about. We are talking about a party that the Democrat Party that has gone way to the left. And that needs to, in my opinion, that needs to be part of the issue.
Yeah, I would say that every election is a choice. And so you can choose to say that, okay, this thing hasn't been done. And I think there's always more that you can do. If you get everything that you want, you'll find something else. And so you can do that, or you can sit out and send Roy Cooper to the Senate, for example. And what's he going to do? He's going to vote for things that Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders tell him to do. And so is that going to get you closer to what you're looking for or further away? And I think that's really the message. Everything has to be a choice.
I want to go back to this when we come back. I know we're going to take a break in a minute. But it was announced today that Alan Dershowitz has become a Republican because of the anti-Semitism in the Democrat Party.
Well, I don't think he's the head of a wave of Jews that are going to change
no,
the Republican.
No, but I think it's significant. I mean, he's been moving in that direction for a couple of years now. But I do. There is something semi-related to that I want to get to when we come back.
Okay, folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call. Thanks for listening.
What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam, full of firearms. New guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, E70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than E70 Pond. Of course, E70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. E70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Mary, you left us with a teaser.
Yes, that's
where we have to go.
I want to talk about one of the dangers of Trump derangement syndrome, because I think we're dealing with a lot of that. Tom Friedman was on CNN's Smirconish the other day and made the following statement. He would love to see the Islamic Republic of Iran replaced by a democratic regime. But letting Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu get credit for succeeding at overthrowing it like this might not be worth it. So he would rather see America fall on its face in Iran than see Donald Trump get credit for anything. That's awful.
Well, unfortunately, it's a lot broader than him. It's every single talking head in the Democrat Party and, and the leaders of that's not isolated. I mean, it's a strong statement by him. But they believe the same thing, and they feel just as strongly about it.
What happened to patriotism? What happened to supporting America's war effort?
If you have to give up power, doesn't matter.
I wouldn't use such a broad brush with that statement, because we have rhino Republicans, i.e. Tom Tillis, who aren't supporting President Trump either.
That's true.
But is he supporting the war in Iran?
Or no, I don't think he is.
Really? Has he said anything? I haven't heard it.
Well, we had that Senator Chris Murphy who went overseas, and he actually came out and said that the United States was in worse shape now since the Civil War. And,
but he's a Democrat.
And he's a Democrat, of course. But the point being is that, that even in a time of war, they don't mind coming out and just blasting our country. And they don't. These people don't love our country. It's the 250th anniversary of our country this year, and we need to recognize who are patriots and love this country and who doesn't. And a lot of these people do not.
I will say that yesterday, Tom Tillis was quoted as saying he was not going to support
Kevin Rorsch.
Yes. Yeah. So it just seems like anything that Trump wants to do, Tillis has been against. So I can't cite you an exact example about the Iran. But I would venture to say anything Trump says, Tillis is going to say opposite.
Well, Tillis says he won't support Kevin Warsh until the DOJ drops the investigation of Powell.
So it makes me wonder what Tillis has got involvement in that, because why would he protect him? Fraud's fraud. I mean, and if you're spending that much more money for something that there's something going on there, so I disagree with Tillis as normal.
Glenn, you had another question that was good.
It's a whole different direction. It goes back to communications for getting Republicans elected, and that was asking about what is the best way to move the register voter group or add to the register voter group. How can we
activate them?
Activate is the right word. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because what traditionally has been the case is a door knock is better than a phone call, which is better than doing nothing. And so to reach people now, you still have such a proliferation of social media, which is where more and more people are getting their news. For example, I've had early discussions now with NCGOP getting on TikTok because we're not reaching, you know, the Gen Z voters and the college age voters. You have more people are using the connected TV and streaming. They're not on cable anymore. Are they still watching broadcasts? A lot still are. But really taking that totality of effort and figuring out the changes and reaching people in that sense is being able to talk to someone face-to-face is still better, being able to have that voice, but really being able to communicate that message of why they need to pay attention. And what I have always told people is that elections are decided by people who hate politics. They go and vote because they look at it as their civic duty, but they're trying not to follow the day-to-day of what's happening. They're just trying to, you know, get home from work at a certain time. They want to put on something for the kids. They're at their kids' games if they have, you know, softball, t-ball, what have you. So really being able to have a message that resonates with a family and what makes their life better is what's successful. And that's why the NCGOP is traditionally had a family first message.
Is what's a good format? Because there's been some folks that spoke to me lately that says contrasting the difference, whether you're contrasting the difference of a candidate or the party platform, but show where we're different and why we're a better choice. Is that?
Yeah, I think that is critical. So as an example, what we have tried to do is show that what does it take for a family to thrive? And, you know, take any family, whether they're in Craven County, surrounding area, what do they want? They want their kids to go to a good school. They want to be able to afford gas and groceries. They want to live in a country that values their contributions. And so what do Republicans do? They pass the working families tax cut, which puts more money in their pockets, 11% higher than a year ago. You have keeping men out of women's sports, being able to have the space for that. And so Democrats have opposed all of this. No Democrat voted for the working families tax cut. No Democrat has come out and said, hey, we were wrong about, you know, biological men in women's sports and women's bathrooms. They have not come out and changed any of those. If anything, they are continuing to double down on that message. And so they really sort of make it easy for us to have that contrast, but you have to be able to present it in a way that people get and understand at that level.
How can we contrast those same people? We know a lot of people who would say would be fiscally conservative, but they're socially more progressive. How do we get those people attracted to the Republican Party?
Pocketbook issues.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Those pocketbook issues and showing the inflation and prices that you're dealing with, it didn't happen overnight. It happened over 4 years of Joe Biden and Democrats running Washington. Over 20% higher inflation and prices you saw during that regime. Does it all come down right away? No, it doesn't. Do we have other issues that come up? Yes, but you can clearly see the trajectory that President Trump and Republicans are on when you're talking about how do we stop China and other countries from dumping things into our country? How are we able to build an economy that works for people? Being able to bring back manufacturing and things that we do here, being able to have that true industrial policy. And so we want to create good jobs for families. We want families to be able to live a better life and be able to live without having these Marxist values shoved down their throats.
I also want to add that Dr. Oz doing with what's the end of life places in California?
The hospice, the
$100 million scam. If they're collecting my tax dollar, I want my tax dollar to be used wisely, not going to some scam. I'm not sure how we can bring that to the surface. As again, these are things that we see that's happening. We're now investigating some of these fraudulent things that were going on, and we need to just clean up what's going on. Eric?
Well, the issues that you mentioned were 80-20 issues, and I don't understand when the Democrats are so strongly against the majority of American people, why people are still voting for Democrats.
I think part of the answer to that, Mary, is the fact that when the Democrats are running for office, they don't tell the truth. Look at this Spanberger up in Virginia.
Yeah.
You mentioned that. When she was running for governor, she indicated that she would be opposed to any redistricting effort. First thing that she does, relatively first thing she does, is she comes up with this change to the Virginia Constitution, and now it's going to result, if it's not unless it's overturned, they're going to have one Republican congressman in the entire state of Virginia. And so she did exactly what she said she wouldn't do.
I would like to add that I think that abortion has been a big social issue that has kept a lot of more progressive people from voting Republican, is because that's more important to them than the republic that they live in.
Yeah, killing babies. Yeah.
Well, and again, from their perspective, giving me the free choice to do whatever I want.
Including killing babies.
We're looking at more, being responsible, that every life is an important life.
Yeah, I don't know how church people can be Democrats and vote for abortion.
I don't either.
That's my opinion.
No, and again, life has value.
Is it about abortion, or is it about a fear of government encroachment? In other words, the feminists, of course, have sold the argument, my body, my choice.
Yeah, what happened to that during the pandemic?
And that's true.
And what happened to that with boys in the girls' bathrooms?
That's true.
So I do have a bit of good news. One of the largest abortion clinics in North Carolina is actually closing at the end of this month. It's in Greensboro, and they have it on their website. So now they are directing people to not even go to North Carolina. They're directing people to Virginia now, which just shows state leadership is critical in this matter.
Great information. Thank
you. Yeah, that's good to know.
Did they say why they were closing?
Financial difficulties.
Not enough fraud in that system, huh?
Well, I would say on the fraud level, too, Vice President Vance has deputized someone in the Department of Justice specifically to look after fraud. And so I don't know how well that message actually got out with everything else that's going on, but the Trump administration is taking fraud seriously. And I think if you're looking for a springboard for an issue, really going after this, and what is our tax dollars really going for, and what's happening to it, and why is it being stolen? I think we would solve a lot of problems if we're able to really root out the fraud.
I think it's a better way to go after fraud than Doge. Doge was so divisive.
I loved it.
Well, yeah, but the Republicans, the Congress kicked Musk out. They didn't want to cut spending. But if you're going after fraud, there's no way you can take up for it. I mean, Dr. Oz said he shut 400 hospices in California at the same time, and not one of them have asked for their money. So that was quick.
Yeah, I just hope that Vance's face gets associated with this stuff. I'm afraid that he hasn't visibly taken on the reins of this. He gives it some speak once in a while, but he doesn't. I don't see out of him what I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
If he thinks he's got a future beyond what he's doing now.
Well, there should be regular reports. I think he should be giving regular reports, updating people on the progress being made, and keep it in the news. I agree with you 100%. Doing it behind the scenes is all well and good, but it doesn't get us to what we're trying to do is let people know the things that are happening that are a benefit to them.
And it goes to the campaign support.
But is the press trying to ignore him?
The press does everything they can to make Republicans look bad, and that's the deal you sign when you join this.
Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. And again, we're back on the air. And you wanted, Glenn, you wanted to take us in a different direction.
Actually, I wanted...
You want me to do it?
To take us in.
Yeah, let's talk about the Southern Poverty Law Center. It's been indicted on 11 counts. The thing that's interesting about the Southern Poverty Law Center, now they've been very powerful in making entities, particularly Republicans, into villains. And what we find out now is that they've been paying for racist incidents. They've been paying the Ku Klux Klan. They've been paying the Aryan Brotherhood.
The rabble rousers.
Yeah. They've been paying them, and they paid for, remember Charlottesville?
Yes.
What Biden said, that was the reason he ran, because Trump didn't condemn the Nazis and the white supremacists, even though we know he did. They paid for that event. They paid the groups that were there causing the trouble. And so what the Southern Poverty Law Center did was they would set up bogus bank accounts in order to pay the Ku Klux Klan and the Aryan Brotherhood and whatever, and they would make up business names, but there would be no business behind the account. It was just, you know, a place to put money in where they could write checks on it and send it to these hate groups. And one of the banks had multiple accounts and decided to look at the accounts and found out there was no business there. They closed all the accounts, and the Southern Poverty Law Center wrote them a letter admitting that these accounts were not businesses. And the DOJ has that letter. It's also been suggested that one of the reasons The Atlantic came out with that article on Patel.
Yeah, hit piece, yeah.
Was because SPLC indictment was coming down, and also Act Blue. And we've talked about Act Blue before. That's where the Democrats accept foreign donations, and they do smurfing, where they make donations, small donations, and they'll have some old person that's made 39,000 donations, which, you know, of very small donations, which make up, added together, a very large donation. And if you go to that person and ask them, did you make these donations? No, I did not. All of the people that they've tried to depose from Act Blue took the Fifth Amendment. None of them answered. They didn't answer any of the questions.
Not one of them.
Right. And all their lawyers were either fired or
resigned. Yeah.
And one was on administrative leave. So Act Blue is in trouble. This is before the the
SPLC.
Before the primaries, and SPLC is in trouble now. The Southern Poverty Law Center has $800 million set aside for operations. And now that they've been criminally indicted, the government can try to forfeit those funds, which ties them up so they're not available to the Democrats for the midterms.
Now, and the other thing that is really, really useful is that apparently the charges are in
Alabama.
Alabama.
In a
red state, yeah.
Right, right. And it was the Alabama grand jury that indicted them. Mm-hmm. So they're not in D.C. where they, you know, they could presume they were going
to
say.
Nothing to see here, folks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's putting pressure on two of the Democrat money and power, which is a good thing. There's a lot of things coming out of DOJ that are combining, depends on the timeline, that are combining to put pressure on the Democrats prior to the midterms. And I'm glad to see them coming out, because the Southern Poverty Law Center has just been a thorn in our side for a long, long time.
Unfortunately, I think that'll all be great, and whatever impact it has is going to be good, especially if we seal their money up. But it'll never make the news. You know, it just won't make the news like, you know, bad information on Republicans makes the news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It gets papered over is just the frustrating part.
Well, it just shows you that these organizations that may at one time have been created because there was a problem that needed to be addressed, they just want to maintain and continue their existence. And what they do is, even though, for example, the issue of racism, and where we've made tremendous progress in this country over the past 50 years, and with racial issues, they keep bringing it up. Because that is their breath of life. That's how they make their living. And they continue. My understanding was after the Chancellorsville issue that, you know, took place, they raised over $100 million just from that incident of claiming that there were all these right-wing racists that were there, when in reality they were sponsoring them and hiring people to act that way.
Pat, do you know if there was any association with the J6 rabble-rousing with them?
With the Southern Poverty Law Center?
Yes.
I don't recall any mention of that in the article that I read.
It'd just be interesting if they were paying for infiltration to create racist events. That was a nice hard target.
Yeah,
they didn't need to do that. The FBI did enough of that. You know, our own government did that. They didn't need to.
Well, that's just sad. It's just sad that and just by the name of it, you know, you would have thought that it was a good group, you know, somebody trying to do good things instead of a economic socialist agenda.
Mm-hmm. All of these things coming to the surface, I know we keep, personally, I keep looking for somebody getting frog marched out in a jumpsuit, an orange jumpsuit or whatever else.
Perp walk,
yeah. And we don't see that coming, but we see all of these areas, and again, Dr. Oz out in California, and this Act Blue and the Southern Poverty Law Center, and there's still a whole bunch of these things coming up. Now,
who do we hold accountable for that?
Who's going to be held accountable? Who's going to be held accountable?
That's the question.
Well, isn't it our Justice Department's job to do that?
Right.
Yes.
But I'm saying,
criminal.
So far, I mean, look at everything that Pam Bondi did and brought out. Same thing with Kristi Noem. Same thing with Kash Patel. They keep bringing the news out, but there is no one person who's being targeted yet. You will hear there's an investigation on so-and-so, but then you don't hear anything. And I can't understand. Hillary Clinton. It's proven that she was the one behind the Steele dossier. But nothing has happened. Nothing.
Fauci, nothing's happened.
So, like I said, who do you hold accountable? Because even though it's kind of it's not even a secret because it's public information in so many ways, but there isn't anybody going to jail.
Well, there's a recently they announced, I think it was yesterday, the day before, a Democrat congressman, I remember the lady's name, that she was found guilty by the Ethics Committee and she's going to be expelled from Congress.
No, she
and
resigned.
She's also
she resigned.
But she's facing criminal charges.
That was because she supposedly COVID funds.
$5 million.
Misuse of funds, But again, like you say, those things happen. And a lot of times they run into the statute of limitations. Well, that took place, after 5 years ago. And so, therefore, they don't pursue it. And it's frustrating.
And in the last 3 days, we've all heard about the accounting discrepancy with Ilhan Omar.
Oh, yeah.
And her net worth. And I just want to say
$30 million down to saying she had a
$95,000. But I just want to say that net worth of these, anybody that's in elected office, really does need some examination. These people are making $170,000 a year. How are they becoming multimillionaires in 2 terms? It makes zero sense to me.
Part of the way they do it is they have, like, Nancy Pelosi. Her husband was making most of the money with information she was giving him. And Omar, her husband,
her brother or her husband?
But anyway, he is operating some sort of financial scheme. And this way she avoids direct involvement, I guess.
But, and the lack of respect that these people who are supposed to be, you know, pillars of the community, she was approached by a reporter, and the reporter asked her the question about this discrepancy, and she said, I'm not going to tell you jack shit. That was what she said.
She said, I don't have to tell you jack shit. That, which is even worse.
Yeah, and I would just add that when you're talking about these cases, like investigating fraud, when you're looking at these things, you know, do you want to do it for the headline or do you want to get it right? And I think a lot of times we want to get it right, which unfortunately it takes longer. But I have complete trust that we will get to these things because they're going about it the right way. And when you put a headline out there and then people start scurrying, you have to go chase them down for where they're scurrying to. I think Ilhan Omar is in a lot of trouble right now. I think you could see her being expelled from Congress soon. I think when you're talking about some of these other cases, it's unfortunately, as you were saying earlier, it is a statute of limitations in some respects, but you still have people like James Clapper. He's not being done with yet. His statute of limitations hasn't run out. The Somali fraud in Minnesota, that is still ongoing. And I think we're talking about, you know, money being taken out in briefcases and sent to Somalia. Those are things that are being looked at. They haven't dropped, but you also want the people investigating it to be able to do their work and be able to bring it when they have it satisfied and it will pass muster in that sense. Maybe Republicans just care more about actually doing the job right than Democrats do. I don't know.
I hope so, but I'm not sure. So.
Well, we had a 4-year break under Biden where the DOJ wasn't interested in going after anybody that was a Democrat, so no Somali fraud. You know, no hospice fraud, et cetera.
Yeah, but if you wanted to go to a school board meeting to complain about a transgender kid in the bathroom, then they would come after
you. They were on the case, yes.
Well, North Carolina lost a basketball tournament because of our House Bill 2. And the North Carolina legislation capitulated on that against the wishes of most of us parents.
Capitulated on what?
The House Bill 2, it was the boys and the girls' bathrooms, yeah. Because they lost a whole bunch of money. What was it, a SEC finalist game or something?
We also had Roy Cooper out there telling them to do it while he was campaigning for governor in 2016. But I think you look at the vindication of the people who did believe this is something we should have done. It has happened. And Roy Cooper has vetoed bills going back to his time in 2023 with women's sports. You look at someone like Riley Gaines and Peyton McNabb. They were here advocating for those bills he vetoed.
Right. Right.
Very good. Folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, this is CCTA Wake Up Call. Thank you for listening.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Pat, you want to take us off to the Supreme Court?
Well, there's been a lot of coverage of supposed leaks from the Supreme Court, and this is the second time we have leaks. Of course, we all know about the Dobbs decision that affected abortion. This one is about fights between the justices about how decisions are made behind the scenes. And so these memos that go between the justices were leaked to the press, who, you know,
published
them. Yay. And they say there's a hint as to where the leak came from. And it looks like the hint leads back to Sotomayor, something to do with the fact that these memos were not on letterhead and they had other indicia on there that they were not the final product, where they could have come from anybody's office, but that they came from her office. And if I had to pick a Dobbs leak, I would have picked her office too.
Because of her position on that issue, yes.
Yes, and because of her total issue with how the Supreme Court has been so conservative, and you know she likes to get the shiv in. So at any rate, the Roberts never found out or never told us where the leak came from in Dobbs. We don't know where this one came out, but you know we may have a chance of finding out. But this kind of thing has to be stopped. This damages the Supreme Court's reputation and their authority. But it's interesting that this is something that they chose to leak.
You know what? Along with that, there was something. Clarence Thomas said something about warning about the progressive incompatibility with the court, because the members of the court can no longer just dialogue with one another; they're at odds with one another, and that's not right. It's not the same court. He was mercilessly raked over the coals before he came onto the court. But the court itself was civil at that time,
mm-hmm.
and no longer.
Well, somebody made the observation that when Clarence Thomas made this speech, that he was still smarting from the treatment that he got during his confirmation. And I'm sure Kavanaugh is too.
So what specifically was released about that? Was it that we're not getting along, we have to send emails? What exactly is the big deal?
No, they send memos back and forth because they're working on the written decision.
But they didn't release anything about a specific decision. It was
no,
about them not.
They were arguing about a climate case.
It doesn't seem like that was as controversial a topic that it would.
It was. They sent a lawsuit seeking to hold oil and gas companies liable for damage to the Louisiana coast, whether to send it back to the federal courts.
The Chevron case.
Yeah.
Okay, but my point remains, why is that such a big deal that somebody would risk leaking it? You know, it's not like the SAVE Act being, or birthright citizenship.
It's green energy.
So?
And it's money.
So?
What do you mean, so?
I just don't understand why it's such a so important to be leaked, because that decision isn't like the stop abortion or like birthright citizenship.
To
in
you.
My,
to you.
Right. To me.
We're in an oil
climate
crisis.
Climate is a religion for them.
Yeah.
It is a religion for the left, and it's what they follow. They have, you know, things that they practice, things they have to do, and they try to convert others to it. It is a religion for the left, and I think that we have to always keep that in mind.
Mm. And they go ballistic if they don't get their way.
Yep. Mm. So that's an interesting thing that happened. Seems to be a lot happening, you know, and the Democrats are still saying that we're waging war on Iran to so Trump can divert attention from the Epstein files.
Speaking of that, let's go to Iran.
Well, they extended the ceasefire again.
Trump extended it.
Yeah, and I have very mixed feelings about that. I just want this whole thing over so that the concentration on the midterm
elections.
See,
this just drives me crazy.
I know, because I'm so naive.
It's a war.
I know.
And people are going, it's already been 2 months. TikTok, Mr. Trump. Come on now.
I know I'm naive and I'm idealistic, and I have a very straight line of what I perceive as right and wrong, and I think Trump's being too nice. Right now, I think we've already proven through history that Iran cannot be trusted, and I think we should have blown the crap out of them 2 weeks ago and been done.
47 years we've been saying that.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree with you. I don't think he should have extended the ceasefire, particularly on his own, because they haven't made any concessions.
And then today they shot at two ships. What have they done to prove that they're honest about anything?
One of the other things that someone mentioned was that, again, Iran has to shut down their oil production, which is their source of money. They're not getting it from anywhere else. They're shutting down their source of money. Iran is going broke. The IRGC is going broke. We need to force them to really go broke.
We don't even know who we're negotiating with. I was listening to Buck and Clay on the way here today, and they were indicating that the fight is being run by the Republican Guard generals, that nobody knows where the leadership is really coming from. And if their communication has been destroyed to the point that we've been led to believe, how are these, even the generals, talking to each other? Does the right hand know what the left hand is doing? And where are the people in this? Well, because I would think if they were going to rise up, now's the time.
Well, I think part of the reason that Trump has been reluctant to terminate the ceasefire is he came out and said that the next attack would be on their
infrastructure,
electricity, and I don't think he wants to make it the country so dysfunctional to injure the people, because the people have to live. I mean, if you attack desalting or desalination plants, and you take away the electricity, I think that's his dilemma. He wants to really take out more of the regime, but it's hard to do that without attacking things that are going to affect all the innocent people in Iran.
And I think this is something where We don't need to prove that we can bomb the crap out of Iran. We've already done it. And so that, to me, is why the pivot to the blockade and ruining the IRGC economically is the smart move here, because we've taken out their Navy. We've taken out their Air Force. We showed we can go deep into the country to rescue a pilot who they got lucky and shot down one time. So what is there to prove after we've hit 13,000 different targets? Yes, we can hit those again, and we will if we need to. But there's a ticking clock with the oil in Iran that cannot get moving. And if that keeps backing up and they shut down their plants, they're losing over $500 billion a day. And so the people, whoever that is in charge now, you're talking about not just the D or F team at this point, it's probably the G or the H team, because we've taken out so many of their leaders. They have to, they're going to realize it, or the people will come and realize it then. The people there are still not, they still have access to the internet. They don't know everything that's happened. They will rise up when they feel they are safe to, but there's so much misinformation out there because they don't trust what the state media in Iran is saying. They don't trust what the leadership is saying, but they also don't hear from us in the way that they need to yet. And so I think that would be one thing to keep looking out for is, can we turn on the internet for them and shut it off for the leadership? And I think that's something, if you ever heard, have ever heard Lori Buckout talk about this, she was actually part of Operation Midnight Hammer last year that took out the three facilities, and talks about, and she works specifically in cyber. So I can't think of a better person from the Republican side to send it to Congress than Lori Buckout.
Good plug, but we're not allowed to endorse anybody.
I'm allowed to endorse.
Yeah, there you go. I do 100% believe this embargo, shutting them down, and when they have to start shutting things in, I don't know about the well business so much. They talk about if you stop extracting the water entrainment. And then if you shut down big facilities like powerhouses, and it's not refining that he was going after, but if you shut the powerhouses down, refiners might have their own power. But those don't start up on a dime. You shut that stuff down, it's big on getting everything started up if you're from a cold startup.
But we've got to remember, we're dealing with irrational people.
Yeah.
And irrational people don't think rationally. Consequently, things that you and I would say, these are things that are really powerful and that people are going to respond to it, they don't necessarily see it that way.
Yeah.
Because these people, a lot of them believe that, you know, they're in it for the death. They die, they go into heaven and get the 32 virgins, whatever they're
72.
Anticipated. Now it's up to 72. Might have to switch religions. It's getting better. But anyway, it's and that's the problem. And the problem for me is if Trump takes his foot off the gas and doesn't get what he wants to get, then the Iranian regime is going to be looking to, after Trump, they're going to think, well, maybe they'll get a Democrat, or we'll get Democrats in Congress, because there's so many Democrats coming out and talking in support of them.
Yeah.
They're encouraging them.
What bothers me now is that they're acting like there's negotiating points, Iran is. You know, they're saying, and I think they were told, bring what you're interested in. Well, I didn't even think any of the stuff that we cared about was negotiable. You know, the pillars of this thing is not negotiable. So why encourage him to bring things forward that isn't important and isn't part of what we want to make happen?
Right.
Yeah, I think when you're also looking at this in the past 42 days, what has Iran done? They've lost all of their influence within that region. Lebanon and Israel have a ceasefire. They're talking about negotiations. They were not able to fund the terror groups that they were able to before. They are much worse off. And it's just insane to me that the media reports this and that they're holding on and are still winning when that's clearly not the case. And all of the allies in the Gulf, too, they are on our side. Saudi Arabia is on our side. Even Israel. We can get Saudi Arabia and Israel to normalize relations. That would be huge for that area. And then we can finally do what we need to do, which is focusing on the threat that China brings.
Well, we have to remember that the military has the guns. So right now, the IRGC, in the power struggle that's going on behind the scenes between the theocrats, the elected politicians, and the military men think entirely different. differently from politicians. And they've never been that interested in funding because they've always had it. So fighting the IRGC is an entirely different proposition.
Any last word from anyone? No? Folks, I'm just going to say thank you very much for listening and supporting us. I ask you to go visit our supporters, and you have a great week. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.